Good morning. Welcome to Fellowship Baptist Church. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Again, thankful for the beautiful day that God has blessed us with. Just looking forward to spending some time with you this morning as my church family, worshiping the Lord and coming together in one mind and one accord and allowing God to move in our hearts and our minds, that we as Christians hopefully will leave here closer than we were when we came. And most of all, if there's one here today that don't know Jesus Christ, that they'll come to know Him before it's everlasting too late. Again, just looking forward to being with you this morning. Thank you for taking the time out of your day. Thank you for putting in the effort, for turning your clocks up and not being late. I'm wondering if at 11 that a bunch of people's going to come walking in, because it's kind of looking a little empty this morning, but that's okay. We'll pray that if there's a need in those families, that God will supply that need, or whatever it is, that God will just take care of the ones that are not here this morning. And for you that are here, let's just enjoy being together in the house of the Lord this morning. While we're standing together, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer, and let's ask Him just to bless this service today. Let's ask Him to bless some families in our church that have some struggles going on, some sicknesses that are taking place in our church, some families in our church who have lost loved ones very recently. Let's just pray that God touch those needs. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings, God. We thank You for this opportunity that we have to be here. God, we do thank You for the ministries that are in our church, God, and we ask You to bless those ministries. Help us to seek You in those ministries, God. Allow us, God, to show Your love. God, even though as we are doing these things that people will come into this church and it won't be about clothes and it won't be about food and it won't be about anything else, but an opportunity to point them to Jesus Christ. God, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do for us. I thank You for everyone that's here this morning. God, may You bless this service, God. May You bless the families in our church, God, the families who've lost loved ones, families who are experiencing sickness. God, You know all of those needs, and we ask You just to touch in an amazing way. For the ones that's not here this morning, maybe they're traveling, or maybe they have circumstances in their life that kept them from being able to be here this morning. God, I pray that You'll bless them. I pray that You'll strengthen them. And God, I pray if it's conviction that's needed, I pray that You'll send that also, God, and give them a desire to be in Your house. God, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.
never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while. Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before.
Singing this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter number 10. I'm going to get right into the message this morning. I ask you to be much in prayer for me as we get into the message, as I begin to do my last minute preparation this morning and try to get everything put together with my thoughts. I realize I'm going to have to stick close to my notes this morning. I don't want to get into my own mind or anything or my own thoughts. I want to be exactly where God wants us to be and do my best to preach what God wants us to have this morning. But also I realize that this may be a little more lengthy than what I normally like to preach. I like to preach somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes. I think I can capture your attention for that long. Maybe. Some of you I can't. Some of you have already checked out. Lynn's almost asleep already. So we'll do our best. You stayed up too late last night and you lost an hour of sleep and we're kind of just here this morning, but I'm probably going to preach longer than that this morning. I'll do my best to mind the Lord, but that's what I always do. Even saying that I like to preach about 20 or 25 minutes, let me tell you something, I don't have no watch going on up here whatsoever. Those doors that you came in, they work the same way going out, and if I get too long, you take it up with God and hit the door. It's the only thing I know to tell you, and I ain't saying that boastfully. I'm just saying if you got to go, you got to go. Man's got to do what a man's got to do, but I'm going to do my best to mind the Lord, and I'll preach what God's laid upon my heart, and then we'll go home here in just a little while. But if you will, I ask you to, again, let's stand with me this morning. I at least want to know that you're awake and going with me before we get started in the message this morning, so we'll stand together and read God's Word. Mark chapter number 10, let's begin reading with verse number 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resorted unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Amen. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity you have to be here. God, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you'll protect my mind and my mouth, God, as we try to preach exactly what I feel like you've laid upon my heart. God, I know that I stand in need of correction this morning. I stand in need of help, and I pray that you'll help me, God, and help me to truly take your word and be a doer of the word and not hearers only. God, we thank and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want us to look at these scriptures. Thank you. May be seated. As we look at these scriptures together, I want to preach on a topic that seems to be a hot topic nowadays. I want to preach on a topic that it seems that has taken place in our world, in our nation, in our local society, and also in our church. So this morning, I want to talk to you for just a few moments this morning about I want a divorce. I want a divorce. Autumn's not here this morning. We didn't divorce this week, just so I can clear that up real quick. Preacher, I want a divorce. Preacher, my marriage is in trouble. I've had this thought on my mind for so long, and it seems like there are so many families being impacted by this thought. There are so many families that I know outside of this church that are being impacted right now, and I don't know if it's due to COVID. I don't know if it's due to having to be together so much. I don't know what it's due to. But I don't know what's going on in people's hearts and in people's minds right now. I don't know what's happening to our family. I can tell you one thing, that Satan is attacking the church. And one way that Satan attacks the church is to attack the family. Our church is made up of families this morning. And there are so many families this morning that are in trouble. There are so many families that are reaching out and texting me and saying, Preacher, do you offer marriage counseling? Preacher, do you know how to help us? Preacher, could we sit down and talk to you for a few minutes? Preacher, my marriage is in trouble. My wife's leaving me. My husband's leaving me. Man, this thought has been on my mind for so long. And this week, I just couldn't shake it. I just couldn't get away from it. And as many of you know, that even as I came here and we began to talk about me being the pastor, that one thing that I said is, I'm not a marriage counselor. I wish that I could help, and I want to help people. And Autumn and I will be more than happy to sit down and listen and offer God's word and offer help in any way that we can. Notice I said Autumn and I will be more than willing to do that. But at the same time, I want you to know that I'm not a professional marriage counselor. I don't know exactly how to tell you to help you. But I will say this, that there are people seeking those answers right now. There are people seeking help because their marriages are in trouble, or they're listening to their spouse look at them and say, I want a divorce. And here in Mark chapter number 10, they were trying to tempt Jesus, and they were trying to put him back in a corner and give him a question that he couldn't answer, or that he couldn't answer correctly. What they didn't know, they was talking to the man that had all the answers, and they said, what do you feel about divorce? And as we read this scripture and we get over into the verse number 6 through verse number 9, we find scripture that is used in many, many wedding ceremonies. And I've done a few wedding ceremonies now. Man, they're just so beautifully written, and they just flow off our tongue. But sometimes I don't think that people understand the sincerity of what they are standing there and saying to one another, to the people that are there, and most importantly, unto God, when they take these marriage vows. As we sit here this morning, I know that some of you in our congregation have been through a divorce. I know that some of you have been in a relationship that didn't work out for whatever reason. I know that some, and listen, that does not make you a second-rate citizen. That does not make you a second-rate Christian. That does not lower you on the totem pole whatsoever. But I do believe with all of my heart that God's intended purpose for marriage is one man for one woman for life. Amen. That's God's word. So why in our society has this become such a popular theme, it seems like, that I want a divorce? And you may say, well, preacher, the divorce rate is really going down. Well, I want you to know something. The marriage rate is really going down. People don't get married anymore. They shack up. Let's go old school terms. They shack up nowadays. Let's just go live together. I want you to know something. That's not according to God's word either. That's not, let's just put it real blunt. Listen to me. This is going to be a tough message because I'm going to get right in some of y'all's living room, but I'm going to open the window and let y'all look into my living room too as we get through this message today. But people nowadays, they don't see our society. We have destroyed the sanctity of marriage. We have destroyed the holiness, the sacredness of marriage. Shoot fire, this whole world can't even figure out what marriage is anymore. I want you to know that God's word lays out exactly what marriage is and how that marriage is sacred and that marriage is holy and that marriage was put together by God. If you don't want to do it God's way, then there's no reason to get married because it is sanctified by God. And as we look at the scriptures this morning, in the way that our society has destroyed and trampled the sanctity of marriage, that is no longer holy and it's no longer sacred, I believe that's one reason that we're seeing more and more, hey, I want a divorce. My spouse is leaving me. We need help. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 2 really quickly. I want us to look at marriage this morning for just a moment. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 18. If y'all will, when we get done with this message today, if the Lord sees fit and you find some help in this or you agree with any of this, I ask you to share this message after a while. There's some people that need to hear this message, and it's not because I'm preaching it. It's not going to be because of the way that I deliver it, but it's going to be because we have trampled the sanctity of marriage, and people need to understand what happens when we just say, hey, I want a divorce, or why it happens that, hey, I want a divorce. Let's look in verse number 18. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Ain't that amazing how we already heard something about that this morning? God knows how to work, and God knows how to give me some assurance sometimes, because listen, I don't want to preach this message. I want to preach an uplifting message. I had somebody just this week call me and say, hey, preacher, I've been watching you on Facebook, listening to you on Facebook. I really enjoy your preaching. I want you to know that your preaching is uplifting and it helps me. Well, you know what? Sometimes preaching can't be uplifting. Sometimes it's got to get right in our tater patch and go to plowing. Sometimes it's got to hurt. Sometimes we've got to learn so that we have the uplifting to go to. But in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 18, the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Now let's move over to verse number 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and we're not ashamed. You know, it's amazing we've got so far from God's word that everybody walks around half naked and nobody's ashamed anymore. That you turn on the TV, I can't go there. I got to stay on marriage this morning. Let's go right back to marriage. Y'all know what I was fixing to say, so you just fill in the blanks and let's go right on. As we look at that marriage this morning, as we look at how God sanctified marriage, as God put that first marriage together, and you say, well, preacher, there wasn't no marriage. Absolutely. God went to Adam and made a woman out of his own bones. He took a rib from Adam and he made Eve just for him. And he gave him a helpmeet there. He gave him a partner, a companion there in the garden. And I want you to know that every single one of us, that when we looked our spouse in the eyes on our wedding day, that we said, God, I feel that you have chosen this person for me. God, I feel that you put this person here for me. This is my one. This is the one I want to spend my life with. And God provided that partner and that helpmeet, that companion for each and every one of us. So you look back and you say, well, preacher, how that God sanctified marriage and God made it holy and sacred, then why are we seeing that people say that I want a divorce? Well, for one thing, people don't even recognize God anymore. People don't even look and say, well, I'm accountable unto God. But let's think back for just a minute. Let's think about our wedding day. Is that going to work for us this morning? I want to show y'all something. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Best day of Autumn's life right there. She ain't here. Somebody keep a tight leash on me so I don't end up in the doghouse this morning. Keep the mute button. So this was April the 3rd, 1999. Man, was I good looking. I don't blame her. No, you know what really had to happen? I could never get women to chase me. Mama had to tie a pork chop around my neck just so the dog would chase me out in the yard. I mean, that's just the way it was. And when I found Autumn, oh, I just melted. Oh, man, she was beautiful. And when I saw her and she actually talked to me, Lord have mercy, I was struck right then. I was lovesick. Now, I didn't hold it against her, too. She wore a Carolina jacket to school at that point in time. And, man, this is my pickup line. What are you wearing that old nasty coat for? That was my pickup line. I don't know why that worked, but it worked. Must have been the good-looking part. But I look back to April 3rd, 1999. Now, at this point in time, 20 days from now, Autumn is going to turn 17. I'm 17 and she's 16 years old. She don't like for me to tell our kids that. But 20 days from this day, Autumn is going to turn 17. You can notice she's not pregnant, so it wasn't a shotgun wedding. 20 days from now, Autumn's going to turn 17. She's got a year and a half of school to finish. We have to go, when she goes to school, she has to bring her report card home, and I have to sign her report card as her guardian, her legal guardian, and send it back to school with her. I'm at work one day, and my phone rings, and when I answer, they say, "Hey, Mr. Seacrest." I'm like 17 years old. Why does anybody call me Mr. Seacrest? I'm like, "Yeah. This is so-and-so, so-and-so from North Surrey High School. Autumn wants to leave early today. Is that okay with you?" And I'm like, "I'm powerful now." "Yes, that's okay. I'll write her a note in the morning." I'm telling you, it was kind of weird. This point in time in my life, I dipped Skol. I stopped one day and couldn't buy a can of Skol. I walked up with a can, threw it on the counter, and the guy said, "I need to see your ID." I said, "Man, I'm married. I'm working and paying bills and buying a house. I want that can of Skol." And he said, "I'm sorry, you can't have that can of Skol. You're not 18 yet." But yet I had this responsibility on me. Now look at us that day. Man, look how happy she is. I'm happy too. Look how happy we are. And we think back to our wedding day and oh, how wonderful it was and how awesome it was. And man, she didn't get the wedding that she deserves. I go to some of these weddings now and they're just blowouts. And I'm thinking, man, that's what Autumn deserved. But she never got that. We were just young and we was ready to get married. We were in love. We are in love. Doghouse, you got to straighten me out on that. We are in love. And as you look at this picture and you just see how happy, you know, as you're standing there that day, there's never one thought that says that I'm not going to go through with this. There's never one thought that says this is going to end in a divorce. There's never one thought. You know what? When you're standing there at that very moment, that person is the most important person in your life, and you would do absolutely anything to make them happy and to make them feel loved. Why does things change? Let me just stop for just one second. Young people, I do not encourage you to get married at 17 and 16 years old. Life has been wonderful for us. God has blessed us. I don't know. We've been through ups and downs. It has been struggles. There's been financial struggles. And I'm so thankful that God has allowed us to make it this far. But I do not encourage that, to get married that young. We were not mature enough to get married at that point in time. So don't go home. I'm saying all that for you parents. So when they go home and say, "Hey, I want to get married. I'm 17. Preacher was 17. Say, "No, preacher told you he didn't advise that." But God has been good to us. But listen to me real quickly. Young people, if you're not married, you're here this morning. That day better come on something much deeper than a physical attraction. That day better happen on something much deeper than just looking at somebody and going, "She's hot. Man, he's good looking." And I was. I'll try to be lighthearted just a little bit with you this morning. But you better look, and it better be much deeper than just a physical attraction that you have for somebody. It better be based on way more than that ooey-gooey feeling that you have when you are with that other person. It better be based on much more than a physical desire that you have for one another. You need to establish a friendship, an emotional bond with one another. And most of all, you better pray and seek God and know that this is the helpmeet that God has established for you. Look, I don't care if they're uglier than sin. If it is who God has put in this world for you, then that's who you need to be with. And you won't think they're uglier than sin if that's who God's put here for you. Right, Lynn? No, that was the other way around, Terry. Don't you? Look how ugly Lynn is, and he got Terry. So, the thing of it is, whew, doghouse. Man, I about went deep right there. The thing of it is nowadays everything is about, I'm going to be blunt, is about sex. Everything is about that attraction. Everything is about that physical desire. And people don't stop and pray and say, God, is this who you... Because I want to tell you something. The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. The Bible talks about not being with believers and unbelievers. I don't care if you find the hottest person in this world. If they are not a believer in God, if they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if y'all decide to get married, it's going to be a constant battle between your flesh and your spirit. It's going to be tough for you as a lady to leave your husband at home and come on to church. It's going to be tough as you as a man to leave your wife at home and get the kids ready and bring them to church the way that God wanted you to be. You better be sure that you know who you're marrying. It's got to be much deeper than that ooey gooey, that physical attraction that you have. You better pray and seek God about that decision to marry that person. You need a common faith, common priorities, and both of you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how hot they are. It doesn't matter how they trip your trigger. You better be sure that y'all are not unequally yoked when you step into that situation. Well, when I look at people and I say, well, why do you want a divorce? Let me also put a disclaimer right here. If you are in a physically abusive relationship, we're going to go with God's word right here. God's word talks about no divorce except for if one is committing fornication or adultery. But I want to tell you, if you are in an abusive relationship, you need to get away. Don't stay there and get beat up. Don't say, well, the preacher said I couldn't leave. I want you to know if you are in a physically abusive and maybe even so much as a verbally abusive relationship, you may need to get away. You need to get away and get some help and see if we can put that thing back together. But the Bible talks about not having a divorce unless there is fornication or adultery. And I firmly believe that we need to put that kind of effort into our relationships, that we're willing to work through almost anything in order to stay together. Well, preacher, have you ever thought about ending your marriage? Yeah. Sure have. Well, we probably don't need you. You probably don't. But I told you I was going to open the window and let you look in my living room for just a minute. I'm going to get in yours a little bit, so I'm going to let you look in my living room for just a minute. Preacher, you mean to tell me that looking at that picture right there and just seeing the love that is between y'all and seeing everything, look at that big smile on her face and the big smile on my face and everything, it was just so wonderful and so perfect, that there's been a time that you've thought about ending your marriage? Absolutely, there has been. Anybody else been in that boat? Yeah, I know. You guys better not speak up. My wife's not here today. And I am sure... absolutely sure that in the past 21, almost 22 years, that Autumn has wanted to run me off several times or leave herself. There have been times I can remember, this was before I was pastor here, just to give you some comfort in your mind so you won't be thinking, oh, our preacher is such a terrible person. But there have been times that Autumn and I got in an argument. There have been times that I've packed a bag and started on my way out the door. Done. Preacher, you're telling us too much. Some of y'all have done it too. Y'all ain't going to admit it. Some of you've thought about it. Some of you've talked about it. Hey, there's been time, there was a time I can remember specifically one night that I packed a bag and I was going to leave. And you know what? The only thing, this is what I want to tell you, that it's got to be deeper than that physical attraction, that God better be somewhere in the mix. Because I knew that God had a call on my life. That if I walked out of there, that I wouldn't be able to fulfill that call the way that God wanted me to. That God had something for my life and for Autumn's life, that we were supposed to be working that together. That if I walked out of there, that we had been given children, that God had entrusted us, that we would raise those children the way that He wanted us to raise those children. And if I walked out of there, that I was going to be accountable for all of those things that God had blessed me with and that God had given me. So yes, I have thought about leaving. I'm sure that Autumn's thought about running me off or leaving herself. But when I stop and think for a moment about my wife, my kids, and my vow to God, the promises that I made on that day, that I must decide if I'm a man of my word and trustworthy unto God, and if I'm doing the best I can do for him or not. See, I'm not just accountable unto Autumn and my children. I'm accountable unto God. I stood before two preachers, my dad and Autumn's dad, both done our ceremony. And I stood before those two preachers. I stood before however many people were there that day. And I made a promise unto Autumn. I made a promise unto them that I was going to love her. For better, for worse. What's that famous line? Till death. Absolutely. I'm not dead yet. And I made a vow unto God saying, God, I'm going to do this. That God, I'm going to do my best to do this. So am I trustworthy unto God with what he's entrusted me with or not? See, I want to give you some perspective this morning. I'll be really quick, as quick as I can, because I can tell this is not a hallelujah message. Come on, be hallelujah with me this morning. Some men, I want to try to dig into some of the problems that I see. Some of these problems could be my problems. Some of them could be yours. Some men think more of their old truck than they do their wife. We won't go there. They bought that pretty truck, and they bought that truck, and they were so happy with that truck. And they would go home, and they would wash on that truck, and they would wax that truck, and they would take care of that truck, and they would check the air in the tires of that truck, and they would change the oil in that truck, and they would spend time with that truck. And some of you may not, but I'm crazy enough that every now and again, I talk to my truck. None of y'all talk to your truck. I'll be going down the road, and if I have to kick it and just boom, and really get my truck going, I'll look up there and go, I'm sorry, girl, I didn't mean it. Y'all may not do that, but I want my truck to be good to me. I need this thing to last. I talk to my truck. You know what? I listen to my truck. It gets to making a noise. I'll take it somewhere and let's see what's going on. Let's see if we can help my truck, because I want my truck to be good to me. And they've done all of this stuff, and over the years, the truck that gets a few dents in it, it gets a few scratches in it. Time takes a toll on it. It's weathered. It's let you down a time or two, and it's got a few miles on it. But the first time that someone wants to talk to you about your truck, the only thing that you can say is, yeah, she's got a few miles on her, but man, she's been a good one. I really would hate to get rid of her. My truck's got a few miles on her. About 185,000, I think. This is Chevrolet. It'll probably go forever. Lord bless my truck. And just a while back, there was just a little something going on. I was like, man, I don't want to get rid of my truck. I love my truck. I like everything about my truck. I put a few dents in it. Like I said, it's been weathered and all those kinds of things. Man, I'd really hate to get rid of my truck. And you come and talk to me about my truck, and I say, yeah, boy, she's a good one. I like my truck. Does everything I need it to do. Sometimes some of us men, you mention our wives to us, and we don't have so much positive to say. We care more about our old truck than we do our wife. And you say, well, preacher, that's not true. Well, I want to tell you what, the power that's in our tongue and what comes out of our mouth sometimes. Hey, you should never be derogatory. You should never be negative about your wife. If I've got a problem at home with my wife, me and my wife need to take care of that. Me and my wife and God need to take care of that. If Ray wants to come and talk to me about my wife, and the only thing I can do is say negative and put her down, and especially if your mom and dad are still in the middle of your relationship, get them out of your relationship and get it together with God and let God lead that relationship. I know that's tough, but you can imagine we were 17 and 16. The Bible says that a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. Man, if you're still listening to what mama and daddy has to say, man up and be the man that God's called you to be and lead your house and care more for your wife than you do your old truck. Listen to your wife. When it gets to where there's a little something making a racket, that sounds awful, and your wife, sit down and say, I want to listen. I want to know what's going on. Let's get this fixed. Sometimes you need to talk to your wife. I talk to my truck. I'm sorry, baby, I didn't mean it. And sometimes I'll do stuff to my wife, and I just let it go, and I take her for granted. When we get to the place that we want to do better for our wives than we do for our old truck, then sometimes we might see something a little different happen in our marriage. Some of you women are sitting here going, yeah, preach it, preacher, but let's take turns here. Let's be sure we get both sides. Because somebody told me one time that marriage takes 50-50. Absolutely wrong. Marriage takes 100-100. is a lot of give and take. It's a lot of work. And if you think this day right here, man, I would have said, it's not going to be work. We're just going to love. We're living on love, baby. And we was for at least 3 days anyway. But marriage is work. So let's think about this. Some of you men care more about your truck than you do your wife. Some of you women have a little old lap dog at home that you care more about than your husband. And I'm using this to draw some parallels and give some examples. I'm not necessarily talking about a truck, and I'm not necessarily talking about a dog. I don't care how many dogs you got at home. I don't care how many trucks you own. I just want us to take a look at how we treat each other and how we think about each other. Little Fido there at the house. He lays around all day, don't do a whole lot, makes messes everywhere, spills his water, chews his food there on the floor, and you have to go behind and clean it up and sweep after him. You have to get up and let him in and out to go to the bathroom. You might even have to get up in the middle of the night, put your old bedroom slippers on and your robe and take your dog outside so he can go to the bathroom. And you do all of these things, and as you do that, and he leaves the hair on the floor, little Fido don't shed. Yeah, little Fido sheds. There's hair on the floor, but you're looking over his mistakes. And as you do all of these things for your dog, and all those things sound like, hey, sometimes my dogs do stuff. If I leave my garage door open, I've got a dog that'll run in there and grab any pair of shoes he can find, and in just a minute, they're obliterated. I mean, they are gone. I don't know how many pair of shoes I've lost, and about lost a dog one time because of it. But my dog, and he does all of that, and you know what? I'll go out there and get my shoes and go, you know what? That was my fault. Pat him on the head and send him on his way. And while our dogs do all of these little things, and maybe some of you ladies have a little old lap dog at your home and you can relate to this and you see what I'm talking about, and he does all of the things that maybe gets on your nerves or maybe you have to take care of and be responsible for, but still at night when you go over and you sit down on the couch, the first thing you do is say, come here, little Fido. Come here. Let's go to the kitchen and get you a little snack. And he gets his favorite little treat that you went to PetSmart and bought. I mean, just the one that he just loved. Oh, he don't like it. I know we got $50 bag of treats over here, but he don't like them. I bought another $75 bag of treats because Fido loves these. And we just want to make that little dog happy. And he goes in there and he gets his favorite little food and he gets his favorite little snack. And then you go back to the couch and you say, come here, Fido. And he jumps up in your lap and you sit there while you're watching TV and you just rub him. And he's so sweet. Yes, he's a good boy. And he's laid around and made messes. And you've had to let him in and out. But still, yeah, oh, he's so good. I love this little doggy. Some of y'all talk to your dogs like that. I don't talk to my dog like that. But Fido has done all of this stuff that's caused you havoc through the day. And yet at night, he comes in there and it's just, he's such a good boy. And there sits your husband that's been to work all day, that has stressed all day, that's doing his best to provide not only your needs, but every desire. See, I remember that day right there. And that day, and every day since then, I know I haven't always acted like it, but every day since then, if my wife said she wants the moon, I try to figure out how to get it. No matter what, I try to figure out how to get what she wants. Little Fido's sitting there in your lap, and he's getting all the attention and the woo-woo-woo. And there sits your husband that's worked all day, that has stressed, that is doing his best to provide for the family's needs and his wants, getting less attention than little Fido is. You say, well, preacher, I don't know why in the world people get divorced. Hey, if I think more of my old truck than I do my wife, and she thinks more of our little dog than she does me, we're on our way for trouble right there. I need to lift my wife. The Bible says that when I have found a woman, that when I found a godly woman, that she's more precious than the price of pearls. And when she found me, and if I'm willing to do this, and I try to be a godly man, and I try to love her the way that Christ loved the church, I deserve a little bit of attention. I deserve a little bit. And she deserves raising up and lifting up. And if we do those things and not think more of our truck and our dog than we do each other, we'll be on the right path to having the relationship that God wants us to have. Don't ignore your wife. Don't ignore your husband. Let's move on. Well, preacher, my wife and I argue. So do mine. So do me and my wife. We don't see eye to eye on everything. I know y'all don't think. I know that when Autumn and I have a disagreement, that y'all think that we run to the basement and we grab our Bibles and say, let's get down and read and pray. No, we might throw stuff. No, we don't throw stuff. But we argue. We have differences in opinion. Don't ask my kids. They'll be too honest with you. Do not ask my kids. Hey, shoo, this is embarrassing. We was really young, really, really young. We'd first got married, and we had a disagreement one night, and I slammed mustard down on the table. And mustard went on Autumn's shirt. Not a good day. Not a good day. And so we had already went through the apologies, and I'm sorry I let that get out of hand, and yada yada, and all those things, and everything was okay. Well, then Autumn's sister showed up. And Silas couldn't have been very old at all. I believe it was Silas. And the first thing he said is, "Daddy throwed mustard at Mama." No, that wasn't quite the way it happened, honey, but thank you for telling all of our business. Don't ask my kids. They know what goes on in my house, and your kids know what goes on in your house. Hey, what kind of example are you setting your kids to expect from their spouse? Do you want your son, Dad, do you want your son to act just like you do towards your wife? Mom, do you want your daughter to act just like you do towards your husband? Dad, do you want your daughter to expect the very same thing from her husband that she sees you give your wife and vice versa? Man, I'm telling you, they're watching. They're watching way more than they're listening. Me and my wife argue. We are so stubborn. My kids got a double dose of stubborn, I promise you, because we are both so stubborn. I got to move on. We got a long ways to go. But when I stop and think about it, the times that she's had my back when nobody else did, the support she gives me when I'm even wrong, the sacrifices that she makes for me and my kids, the thing that she does that no one else sees to help me be successful, she honestly chose me over everybody else in this world. She would forsake everybody else for me. I don't know how in the world that I could care more about my old truck than I do my wife. But I'm guilty. Not that I really care more for my old truck. But I ain't going to talk bad about my truck. Shouldn't talk bad about my wife. Well, let's move on. Well, preacher, we don't seem to have anything in common anymore. You know, right here on this day, Autumn and I did everything together. Listen, that summer, no, 2 summers before that, when I was trying to earn some money to buy my old pickup, I've got to hurry. We may have to continue this. I wanted to get some money. My dad told me, whatever you earn, I'll match. If you save $1,000 for a truck, I'll match it. He said, I don't care if you save up for 3 years and get $20,000. Whatever you save up, I'll match it and you buy a car. I thought it was a pretty good deal. When I turned 16, I had $1,200 in my pocket and I bought the first $2,500 truck I could find. But when I was earning that money, Autumn wanted to be with me so much, and I can't blame her, that when I would go mow these yards, I had 2 yards that I push mowed and one that I rode, best I remember, and it would take me a couple of hours to mow these yards or to push mow this 1 yard. She would go up there and sit in the driveway and watch me mow these yards just so she could be with me after that. I would do crazy things for her just so that we could be together. You youngsters don't know anything about this. But it tickled me to death when we got a cordless phone, and I could take that phone to my bedroom and lay in there and talk to Autumn, and sometimes it was just silent because I would wake up in the morning and the phone's still on where I wanted to talk to her right before I went to bed at night. See, that was the kind of love that we had that day. That was the kind of effort that was going into our relationship at that point in time. That was the kind of things that we had in common at that point in time. Well, I want you to know something. That things happen, that life happens, and we change. Autumn and I have had this discussion before. That it doesn't seem like we have anything in common anymore besides God, our physical attraction to one another, and our kids. That's not a healthy place for a relationship to be. God needs to be number one, absolutely. And I'm thankful that God has kept us glued together in times when we might have separated otherwise. I like to hunt. You know what? She hates it. She likes to shop. You know what? I hate it with a passion. And we've learned that the best thing that we can do is she don't hunt with me and I don't shop with her. We get along a lot better like that. But you know, at this point in time, I didn't care what it was. If she wanted to go to Haynes Mall and shop all night long, as long as I was with her, it didn't matter. She would sit and watch me mow yards. She didn't care. So where did we leave that? Where did that change? And I think that's where we get to, where we absolutely get to the place that we want a divorce. We want to get away from each other. But But in the beginning, we were willing to work it all out and give effort to be together. Couples, you need to find time to be together. Quit being so selfish for your own wants and your own desires. I'm preaching to me. Don't be selfish about what you want to do all the time or what she wants to do all the time. Find time to be together. One of the best things Autumn and I have done recently is we started hiking together, something that we enjoy doing together. Find something that you can do together or you will grow apart. I've got to move real quick, and I'm going to move through these real quick and maybe just read my notes and go on. I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. First of all, be very careful because your mind and your heart will deceive you. The Bible speaks to that your own heart will deceive you. When you fell in love, you were devoting effort to the relationship. The other person's happiness was more important than your own. And everything you did, you considered the other person's response or reaction. Hey, I took baths. Don't get me wrong. But when I met Autumn, I wanted to smell good too. And I found some cologne. It was Eddie Bauer Adventurer. I can still remember it. A little green bottle with a golden goose flying on the front of it. And when I found that stuff and we was going out one night, and I took me a little bath in that Eddie Bauer. That hair that I did have, I slicked it up and just got it just perfect. And we went out on a date, and she said, "Man, you smell good. Hey, you should have smelled me the next time. You can smell me from 100 yards away. I mean, I was really going to smell good." Everything that I'd done was to please her. Everything that I wanted her to be happy and to have that reaction from her. I wanted her to be proud. She used to hold me when we'd walk up and down the mall or anywhere we'd go. Autumn would always, she'd just hold on to my arm. I'd walk up, we never held hands. She always held to my arm in two places. I can remember in school all the way through. And I missed that. That's something we don't do now. But you know, when we started out, it was all about the other person. And somewhere along the line, I become selfish. And it was more about what I wanted to do and what made me happy instead of putting the effort in to what she wanted to do and what made her happy. Well, you know what? In many places in the Bible, God compares his relationship with us as a bride and a groom. And God is taking care of me, and he's always thinking about me, and he's always planning for me. It's not about him, it's about me. And God loves me, and God forgave me, even though I didn't deserve it. And that's the way we need to be with our spouse. Hey, when we fell in love, we were devoting that effort. The other person's happiness was more important than your own. Everything you did, you considered the other person's response. So let's look at what causes struggle real quickly. Women seem to struggle. Y'all going, here we go. I don't have to preach next Sunday if you don't want me to. Women seem to struggle when they begin to hang around with single young women who are living the fun social life. You can watch. You let them get a job with a bunch of single young women who are living that fun social life, and you will see their home relationship begin to struggle. Women seem to struggle in that because they see these young ladies who are not always running and doing for someone else, that doesn't have all of that responsibility, that doesn't have some old nagging husband at home wanting to know where she's at or where supper's at or what's going on. And they begin to hear about those young single women who are going out and young men who find them attractive. And all of a sudden, there's a man that notices her at work. And the next thing you know, her mind is all on, how do I get a response out of this person? How do I get a response out of these young girls? How do I fit in with them? Until all of a sudden you got a train wreck in the house and you're hearing those words that I want a divorce. I want to be separated. I want you to know that God's not pleased with that. And that's no reason to walk out on your husband or your children or your marriage. That we need to be bound together by the love that God give us for one another. And we need to stick it out sometimes. Sometimes you do what you got to do just because it's the right thing to do. Amen. Men, we seem to struggle when we become so selfish that what we want to do is more important than what anybody else wants to do, no matter what. I want to do this, I want to do this, and it doesn't matter that what anybody else thinks. Nobody's going to boss me around. You better let your wife boss you around just a little bit. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm supposed to be the man of the house." Well, I tell you what, when you step up, and when I step up and I become the leader spiritually in my house that I should be, then you worry about the rest of it. I'm not the spiritual leader that I should be in my house. Why don't I take that approach with the spiritual leadership in my life? Oh, it's my job to lead this thing spiritually, and I'm going to do it, and we're going to do this, and we're going to get closer to God. No, I don't do that. But on the other stuff, I'll step up and say, well, I'm the man of this house, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Hogwash. You'd be in trouble real quick. Your marriage will be in trouble real quick. Or men, sometimes we struggle when all of a sudden we get just a little bit of success. Do you want to know how much money Autumn and I had in our pockets right there? I ain't going to tell you. Little to none. We had help from some family to put this wedding on. Or, you know what? She might kill me for telling you this, but I think I went and rented that tux for about $50 from a place up in Galax. And I'm real sure, I know this for a fact, that she borrowed that dress from a friend. She don't even own that wedding dress. We took it back after the wedding. I'm real sure of that. But it wasn't about how big of a wedding that we had. It wasn't about whether this was mattered to anybody else or we met anybody else's expectations of our wedding. It was that we came together. Well, you know what? I'm in a little bit better financial shape now than I was that day. Not much, but a little. And as I look, and you know, sometimes if you're not careful, when we as men, we gain a little bit of success and our ego begins to grow, and we look and say, well, look what I've done for my family. I've been able to buy this house, and you have a nice car, and our kids have this, and we do this, and our ego begins to grow, and we begin to think about what all that we have done. We get to a place that we feel like no one understands or appreciates all of the sacrifice and the stress that's gone into that, that nobody cares that I work 50 hours a week, that nobody cares that I've done this or that I've done that. And we get to the place that we start getting angry on the inside with our spouse, and they hadn't even done anything to us except for sitting over and petting little Fido and talking to him like a baby. We get to the place to where those things begin to harm our relationship, and then comes along someone that notices our success. You know what? That young thing that notices your success, and all of a sudden she's chasing you just a little bit. I want to tell you something. If anybody's chasing me, it ain't because of my looks. I can tell you that right now. I was good looking right there. Life has happened. Nobody's chasing me for my looks. So, and most of you men in here, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, ain't nobody chasing you for your looks. If you've got some little sweet young thing chasing you, she thinks you're successful. She thinks you got a little money. You fix him to become a sugar daddy. Let's just put it bluntly. You better get your mind and your eyes off of that and get them back at home where they're supposed to be, with that woman who supported you when you didn't have anything. With that woman that I called at the beach one time. And she was going to the beach with some women from church, and she took our son with her, and she was down there and they were having a good time. And I went to the ATM there at Food Line and on 52. We were super, super young, and I wanted $20 to run on that week. And my ATM told me, sorry, you don't have $20 to your name. Not a checking account, not a savings account, not anything. You don't have it. But you know what? My wife loved me and supported me then. She was there with me when we didn't have anything. So why in the world would I get a big old ego and think that I deserve something different now? Lord, help us. Get your eyes off of it, everything else. Well, this is the last one, and I'll be done. Well, preacher, I've heard this, and I don't even know how to respond with this, but God's word. I've prayed about our situation, and I feel like God is okay with me leaving. You ever heard that? Maybe y'all haven't. But me being in the position I am and people coming to me for help, I've had people tell me, I've prayed about this, and I feel like God is okay with me leaving my husband or my wife. I feel like God does not want me to live unhappy. God does not want me to be in the situation that I'm in. Well, we've talked about some situations that God has kind of carved out some exceptions for. But I want to go ahead and say this. Don't put God in the middle of fulfilling your own selfish desire. Don't blame it on God or give God credit for that. Well, preacher, I'm just not happy. How are you seeking God? You know what? That may be where your happiness really needs to come from. I want to tell you, I know we've talked about this in different circumstances and different things that we've talked about here recently. Hannah, come on. I don't know what in the world to tell you sing this morning. yes, Jesus loves me or something, I don't know. You pray about it and just sing something. God is not going to tell you that something is okay and it be contrary to His word. If it's contrary to His word, God did not tell you that. Period. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Nope, I don't. I just can't live on that. Well, I want to tell you something. Most of the time where our unhappiness comes from, and I don't care if it's a work situation, I don't care if it's a family situation or a church situation, is when we get our eyes off of God. We get our eyes off of God, and everything else begins to crumble around it. Everything else begins to fall. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You want to be happy? You seek God first in your life. Your spouse is no longer making you happy? You begin to seek God. You begin to pray with them. You begin to say, come here, honey. I feel like our relationship is in stress right now. I feel like our relationship is not where God wants it to be. Let's start seeking God for our relationship. Let's start asking God to bless us. Let's ask God to put that fire, that love back in our relationship. Let's ask God to put us back to where we want to be as a couple. And I promise you, things will get better when you begin to seek God 100%. Let all of these other things go out of your mind. Let all of these other things, these deceptions that the devil has brought you, let all of those go and seek God, and things will begin to get better. Preacher, how can you say that? That's what God's word says. That's not me. That's God's word. I want a divorce. Satan is attacking our church. When I say our church, I'm talking about the church in general. The church. And he's attacking it through families right now. He's attacking families. I've seen things that I thought I'd never see. I've seen people go through separation that I would have said their marriage is as strong as anybody's. But you give the devil an inch, and he will rule your marriage. He will rule your life. Well, preacher, I don't like his message. I don't either. I had to text Autumn this morning. I had to text her and say, honey, I have become someone. I have become a husband that I did not intend to become. I'm sorry that I'm not treating you the way that I should be treating you. I'm sorry that I don't love you the way that I'm supposed to love you. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to seek God in it. I want our relationship to be what it's supposed to be, because the last thing that I want to see is my family split. The last thing that I want to see is my kids to be raised without mom and daddy both in the house. You say, well, preacher, you just don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know what I've been through. Absolutely, I don't. But I would dare to say this, that most of you in here that have been through a divorce say that that's something that you wish that you never had to go through. That's something that you wish never had to happen in your life. Maybe you wish that you found your second spouse first, and maybe that could have been the solution to that. But I don't want my family to go through that, and I don't want to see yours go through it. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray that you'll touch our families. God, I pray that you'll help us in everything that we do, that we will seek you first. God, I pray for families in our church that are struggling right now. I pray for some that has texted me this week, God. They're struggling. They're looking for answers. They're needing help. God, you are that help. God, I pray that you'll help us to guard against all of these things we've been talking about this morning. God, I pray that you'll build us up to be the families that you would have us to be, so that we can be the church that you would have us to be. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you most of all for loving us and taking us in, God, as your bride. God, for choosing us, and God, for loving us. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.